While I was traveling, we went down into Del Rio, Texas, and felt led to do some work in Mexico. And when we got down to Del Rio, Texas, now notice just how God worked. I had a 53 Ford and hadn't had too much trouble out of it. I've never had a new car to travel in. I could have gone in debt and got one, but that didn't seem to me like that would be proving God to have a new car to go to and fro in. And I've never had a new set of ties. I just went by faith. I've never had bank accounts to go on. I just trusted God, me and my wife and five children. And when we went down to Del Rio, Texas, just as we got down into Del Rio, then the motor tore up in the old Ford. God made provisions for us, and the next day we were there, and I felt led to walk around, and just at that right time, God moved me and gave me a desire to walk around, and I met the man that had the Dodge. And so it was, I traded for the Dodge, and I couldn't really figure out why. The old Dodge was bent up on the left fender, and I had to work and straighten it out, and we had to take the motor apart and rebuild it. And besides that, God had already provided me a 55 Buick after my Ford tore up, so I didn't know why in the world I traded for it, but it looked like I just had to have that Dodge. And so it was, I traded for it. Well, we traveled around the country and wound up later, at a later date out in Los Angeles, California, or back the other side of Los Angeles, at a little place called Stockton, California. And I'm always determined not to be a burden to people. And I try to do just what God tells me to do. And so, while we were there in Stockton, we had to spend 5 days and nights in the car because I was determined that I wouldn't be a burden to anybody. And so it was, I had just a little bit of finance left when I got to Stockton, and God closed all the doors. I couldn't rent a place anywhere, and finally my funds was exhausted, and there I was. Then the Lord said to me, He said, go back to the first place that you stopped when you come in here, to the filling station. So I went back over to the filling station. I had a dollar two, and I spent the last bit of money I had for the gas to go into the car. And just as I did, here come out the manager of the station. He didn't know me, and I didn't know him. Got to talking, and he said, found out I was a preacher, and he looked at that car when he walked out, and he said, preacher, he said, you're driving my car. And I didn't think much about it, you know, just one pea in the pod and thousands of people or hundreds of thousands of people in the world and me just one little preacher in one place out of all the cities in the world. And I thought, well, it just looks like his car. I said, are you sure? He said, I'm positive. He said, look on the back of the car. He said, this car was purchased in the state of Omaha, Nebraska. And I looked back there and it was a metal tag said Omaha, Nebraska. He said, I got the pictures on the car. And he said, I'll tell you where you bought it. I said, where did I get it? He said, you bought it in Del Rio, Texas, because that's where I lost it. He said, while I was in service, said, the car was taken away from me, and I always wondered what happened to that car. He said, we always thought a lot of that car. And he said, preacher, he said, this is the hand of God. He said, it couldn't be nothing but the hand of God. He said, you've got to stay with me while you're here. So I went home with him, and I told him what God showed me. And I said, he received the revelation of God. He was baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. I baptized him. And I said, God is going to send you to Old Mexico, and you're going to work among your people. 1 year passed by, but a year later, I believe it was, he, without notice to anybody, he left his furniture, left everything sitting in the house, and just went off down into Old Mexico, and we received a letter from him, and he's working there among the Mexican people. In fact, he's translating some tracts for us right now that we can put over in to Old Mexico. God is real, and God will go to any extent to reach a lost sheep or to have His will done. That's why I had to have that old Dodge. I'm grateful tonight that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. It's foolishness of the world, but look what it means to Mexico. Praise the Lord. All right, then if you've got your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn with me tonight. That's just one of the few incidents that's happened in our lives, and as I said, if you never give God a chance to prove Himself, then you'll never know there's a real God. A lot of people wonder why it was that the Lord blessed the little widow like He did when she gave her last few mites in the offering. It wasn't the money, but it was the act of faith. It took everything she had to make it an act of faith, and the Lord saw that faith. It takes faith to give all of your living, and the little widow gave all of her living, and that was an act of faith, and it moved God in heaven. Faith moves God, and that moved God. Now then, read with me tonight, and as I said, I don't know what we can do. I've got a lot of revelation tonight. As Paul said, much revelation. Much revelation tonight, about 3 or 4 sermons on my heart, and every bit of it practically a spiritual revelation. But remember, the natural man receiveth not the things of God. That's why I want that to be our keynote in the services, is that the carnal mind is at enmity with God, and it cannot spiritualize anything. It naturalizes everything. And since God is a spirit, if you get anything from God, you must spiritually discern it. The things of God are spiritually discerned. Now, let's read just a little bit here and see where we can go to. I wonder if I could get a glass of water tonight, Brother Bobby. And give me plenty of time. If you get in the mind of Christ, it won't seem long. And if we don't get in the mind of Christ, we don't need to talk long anyway. Now, in the book of Genesis, in the 3rd chapter, I want you to reverence the Lord tonight. And if you feel like saying amen, that's all right. But don't just say amen and encourage me, because if it ain't anointed, it don't encourage me. It just interferes if it's from the carnal mind, because it's enmity with God. So if you feel like saying amen, and that's all right, go ahead and say it. But if not, let's stay with the Spirit, will you? That's the main thing, is to get into the mind of Christ. Now then, reading in the 3rd chapter of the book of Genesis tonight, I want to read right here in the, I think I'll begin at the 12th verse, and maybe we can get the thought pretty clear here. And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow, and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. That's reading down through the 16th verse. Now notice right here, the 15th verse, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now, he says here in the 15th verse, he said, I will put enmity between the seed of the serpent and between thy seed. I want you to especially notice the word enmity here. I will place it between thy seed and the seed of the woman. Now, what did we say just a little bit ago about the carnal mind? The Bible says the carnal mind is enmity with God. Isn't that right? I will place enmity between thy seed and the woman's seed. For he said the carnal mind cannot please God. They that are in the carnal mind cannot please God. But they must be in the mind of Christ. And you remember this tonight. If you've been born again of the Spirit of God, friend, you are not in the flesh tonight. Now then, you might say, Brother Pike, I know that I am not in heaven. You are not in the flesh tonight. If the Spirit of God dwells within you, then you're not in the flesh, but you are in the Spirit. Not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. We have been translated from out of the kingdom of darkness into the marvelous kingdom of light, and caught up in the heavenly places. We are sitting together in heavenly places tonight with Christ Jesus, hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received until the time of the restoring of the restitution of all things, which is right at hand. Now then, notice this. You might say, Brother Pike, what do you mean when you say translation? When I speak of translation, this is what I mean. Let's take a natural look at translation. When the men of old translated the Bible, they took the word that they had to work with, and they renewed that word. It was the same word, but it was in a newer form. It was renewed, as the Bible said, by the renewing of your mind. You can translate yourself. Now you say, Brother Pike, can I translate myself? You can translate your own self, and if you don't translate yourself, you'll never get into the kingdom of God. It's up to you to translate yourself by the knowledge and faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's up to you to do it. The Bible said Enoch was translated by faith, that he should not see death. If we stay within this carnal body, if we stay within the flesh, friend, we are going to see death, because in spite of all of the good that medical science can do, we are still dying and nobody can help us. I'm getting bald-headed, I'm getting gray, and I notice a lot of you are getting more like the man that John saw on the Isle of Patmos when he looked and saw him and his hair was as white as wool. You're getting more like your Maker, which means that you are about to enter in that state of judgment. Inasmuch as the gray hair has always meant judgment, it means that you're going into that state of judgment, and you must do something about it. And the Bible said Enoch was translated by faith that he should not see death. Enoch was translated by faith that he should not see death. I believe with all of my heart that today is the day and age of the translation of the church, that the knowledge that takes to translate you and I has now been given to us, and if we're ever going to make a change or make the translation, it's up to us to do it, or we're going to be left in this world and we're going to burn with the rest of them. How can I translate myself, Brother Pine? In what way can I translate myself? The Bible said by faith Enoch was translated. Now you say, well, I know that it's by faith. How can I do it? By calling those things that are not as though they are. Remember this, God who is a spirit cannot work in your carnal mind. If you need healing for your body, friend, you will never get healing for your body as long as you depend on God to come through your carnal mind or through the medium of your five senses to bring you that healing. You'll die with cancer. You might say, if I testify of it, Brother Pike, I'll live. I've known people that's testified to their healing the whole time during their sick period, and they still die with cancer. And I want you to know that you can testify, and as long as that testimony comes from the carnal mind, you'll die. You can testify that you're saved, and as long as you're testifying from the carnal mind, you're still lost. And you'll believe a lie and be damned when you think that you're right with God as far as carnal thinking. But with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. A man's mind is his spirit. It's what he thinks down here that really counts. And with the heart, man believeth unto that spirit of purification. And by the hope of glory, he purifies his inward spirit, even as God himself is pure, by the purification or the power of the purification, which is the Spirit of God. And when we go out yonder in the world and we feel the powers of lust moving on the medium of our five senses, and we feel oppressed on the inside, then we are just like a man that goes out of his house and he goes outside here somewhere and he goes on the job and he gets dusty and dirty, or he goes down into the field. Then after he gets dusty and dirty, then in the evening time he'll come back, he'll go into his house and he'll get under the shower and he'll turn the water on, and the water will completely wash away the dirt. And so it is with you and I. When we began to wander out yonder to try to do something among those that are defiled and those that are contaminated, then we feel those powers of contamination. And then when we do, we have to go back within our house, get under the shower of God, and ask God to purify us, even as He is pure, by the hope of glory that's within us, and by the washing of regeneration and the water of the Word, then we are purified and made clean, and we feel holy again. Now then, by the power of translation, friend, We are now in the age of translation. We are now in the age where we have discovered the thing that Enoch discovered and the thing that Elijah discovered that took them away into heaven. Let me make this clear tonight. A lot of people say Brother Pike is appointed unto man once to die. After that, the judgment. I preached the sermon the other night on the words of spirit and the words of life. And I want you to remember this as long as you live on the face of this earth, that God looked down from heaven. He heard the groaning of the prisoners and He loosed them that was appointed unto death. And when God said man shall surely die, He said, lest he put forth his hand and partake of the tree of life and live forever. Remember, death did not come by God. God had nothing to do with death. Bible said death came by man. God is not the instigator of death. God is the spirit of life. And all the attributes of life is joy, peace, righteousness, health, hope, prosperity, all the inspirations that go along with the promises are the words of life that He has given to change this mortal being back into its original form. And Satan is the spirit of death, and man was the one that let him out of the regions of darkness back into the world of life, because God had cast him out of His presence, out of the world of life, away from the spirit of life, and made him a prisoner of darkness. And the Bible said the angels are bound in chains of darkness, which means they have no spiritual understanding. They are in a world that is considered by God, the knowledge that they have is considered by God a chain from one evil thought to another evil thought. Our spirits, they constantly go from one evil thought to another, one thought of darkness to another. And everybody that becomes one with those demon spirits, they go the same identical way. Now you might say, how can I tell, Brother Pike, when a demon has a hold of my spirit? That's easy. The Bible said that you and I are made a little lower than the angels. And He said, I make my angels ministering spirits. And so it is that those angels are greater in power and in might than you and I, but they must have the same inspiration to live that we have. They must have the same inspiration. Or they'll be wandering in the regions of the damned, wandering and tormented. They wander through the dry places, seeking rest, and they can't find it. They long for a taste of the heavenly water of life, which is God's Spirit, but they are cut off from it. There is enmity between them and between God's Spirit, and they can't get back to life. And they wander through the regions of the damned. But you know how they get in? Let me illustrate this tonight by natural allegories. Remember, the Negro was down in Africa, isn't that right? He was in the regions that was hot. He was in the place that was cut off from all mankind. They say there's a third as many Negroes as there is white. And though the Negro, as I said the other night, he cannot help it, he's a human being just like you and I. God's created all men equal. But the thing is, that Negro cannot help the place that God has placed him in no more than I can. And in types and shadows, him being an allegory of the demon spirits are those that wander through dry places and seeking rest. Down yonder in the regions where it was so hot, the white man went and took him into slavery and brought him back. Isn't that right? Brought him back among the white people. God gave him a place. But you brought him back in. And today you're having all kinds of trouble out of him. A lot of people say, just speaking of the situation in general, a lot of people say, well, I don't like being a marriage. And I certainly don't either. It's not God's plan or will for anybody to win a marriage with any different race as far as that goes. It's not God's will for a Christian to marry a sinner or vice versa. God likes thoroughbreds. But I want you to know that the trouble in the world today is the white man is stooped so low that he went out and he had relations with a Negro and he brought little children into the world that was in a mulatto state. And when they tried to enter school, they refused to give them rights. And they had to do something about it. And the law got into it. And the government got into it. And today, what is it? You're reaping just exactly what you sow. That's what it is. I'm glad that I'm standing for God. I'm glad that I'm on God's side tonight, and I'm not I'm not on either side tonight. I'm on God's side tonight. One of these days I'm going out of here and I'm going to let you folks that want to get in that mess bump heads until you beat your brains out. I want to go with God. Those people are going to reap what they sowed. They sowed it and they're going to reap it. What is it? They let those Negroes in. They went down there and they got them and they brought them in among the whites. Now then, the devil got in among the people by you giving place to him. You went over here and got a weed and you started sucking on it. Isn't that right? You went over here and got an herb and you started chewing on it. You went over here and you got a bottle of whiskey and you started sipping on it. After a while, those demon spirits began to come in. Bible said don't give place to the devil. You begin to get away from the image of God. You begin to get away from the likeness of God. And those demons began to come in. Now then remember this. I heard a story one time that illustrates this about as good as anything I can think of at the present. As the Spirit brings it to me, I'd like for you to listen to it. There was a story told about a certain man that had trained a snake. I believe he was a boa constrictor. And he had trained the snake. And he had him to where he could just pop his finger and the snake would do any old way. That's the way a lot of people are when they start smoking. They can pick it up or they can lay it down. They're the master over it. Just like the people was over the Negro in the beginning. But I want you to notice this. That after a little while that snake grew bigger. And it grew bigger. And they said while he was over in London, I believe it was, and putting on a great show. One of his greatest performances, he popped his finger and the huge snake came out of the cage and it began to wrap around the individual. And they said as it wrapped around the individual, in a little while it completely covered the individual and there was nothing left of the individual. All you could see was the snake. And then in the loose coil when he popped his finger, instead of being the master of the snake had become his master and the snake began to constrict and crush the life out of him. And that's the way that you've done. You've played with demon spirits and you've let those spirits come in. And now they're crushing the very life out of you. You can't get free from them. A man told me one time that I can quit drinking when I want to. I said, why don't you try it and find out? After he tried it, he come to me and he said, will you please pray for me? He said, this thing has got a hold of me. That I find out that it's a master over me and I can't get away from it. Now then, notice this. How can we recognize those demon spirits that must have the inspiration of life to keep from being tormented? How can we recognize them? Because the Bible tells you and I to be temperate in everything that we do. Everything that we do, we must be temperate in it. When we have relation with our wife, we must be temperate in it. When we sit down to the table to eat, we must be temperate in it. When we ride, we must be temperate. When we work, we must be temperate. Everything that we do, we must be temperate in it. And when you find any person that goes beyond temperance in anything, I don't care what it is, when you go beyond temperance in it, friend, unless it's worshiping God, presenting your body a living sacrifice, you have taken on a demon spirit and your spirit has become one with a devil spirit. And notice this. He pushes you beyond temperance because as long as you are temperate, you can receive the right amount of inspiration for your spirit to survive. But for him to be able to survive, he must have more inspiration than your spirit requires because you are made a little lower than the angels and he has used to a greater life. Now notice this, according to the Bible, when God first created back there in the garden, Satan sought to get back into the presence of God. He had been driven out of the presence of God, out of the world of life, cast out into the regions of the darkness, into the regions of the damned, but he sought to get back into the presence of God because he was tormented. So it is, according to the Bible, as he began to work his way back to God, the first thing that he was able to subdue of God's creation was the beast, and he went into the beast. That was the lowest form of creation as far as man was concerned. And he went into the beast, and he worked through the beast. But that life wasn't on a high enough plane to satisfy him. Then the next thing he done, he knew that woman was next to man, and she was a weaker vessel than man, and he began to work through the woman and free, and he still does it today. It's hard for the woman to accept that. Hard for her to stand on the word of God and admit that, but nevertheless, it's true, he still works through it today, and he's overthrowing the world with her today. in thoughts and fashions and so forth, because the man will not keep her under subjection. I don't mean that critically. There's good women in the Bible said if she's a good woman, her price is far beyond that of rubies. And I want you to, men that don't have any understanding towards you, what? Treat her just exactly like she was the daughter of God, because that's what she is. And as long as she abides in the light of God, she's on equal plane with you and don't have to bow down to you. As long as she obeys the word of God, I want you to know that you're heirs and joint heirs, and in Christ is neither male nor female. But the day she gets out of the word of God, she's under your rule. And it's up to you to be her head and keep her in subjection and cause her to walk upright before God, or God's going to charge you with it, friend. Now then, he got into woman. But when he got into woman, he said, this still isn't a high enough type of life for me. I've got in the presence of God, I've got into the presence of life because this man has life allotted to him for a period of time. He said, but I have no ruling power. Then he began to try to get into man. But I tell you, I've got a testimony for the men tonight. I'm glad I'm on it. Amen. Don't feel bad, women. God just made you what you are. You can't have it. I'm glad tonight the Bible said Adam was not found in the transgression. Yeah. Hallelujah. Does that mean he didn't see him? No, I thought he didn't, but I read over where Job said, I've not covered my sins like Adam did, so he did sin. But here's the thing. Satan thought to get into the presence of God, and the closest he could get to God was to go into mankind. God had given mankind everything that's in the world and made him the master of it. And the very highest type of life that Satan could ever obtain unto was man's life, which wasn't as high. It wasn't as high as Satan's plane of life, but here's what he felt. He felt, if I can get into those human bodies, I can overcharge the appetites of relationship. Now listen to this. Your spirit must have inspiration to stay alive. God has given us these appetites. Why? To keep the spirit alive for you. That's the purpose of it. Oh, I want to take just a few minutes tonight and show you how it all came about. But remember, God must keep the spirit alive through the medium of those appetites. That's the only way in the world that he can do it. And he does that. He gives you a relation with your wife. He gives you food to eat. He gives you things to inspire you, to keep you alive, to make you feel good, and to feel happy and feel strong. But remember this, when you start overindulging in those things, it's not man's nature to do that. It's a demon spirit that's got a hold of you, and he lives on a higher plane, and he's trying to satisfy himself and get the inspiration that he requires. You know what'll happen? When you begin to overindulge in those things, the first news you know, you'll develop cancer. You'll develop TB. Your nerve system will break down on you. Why? Because even the devil himself, he don't understand why those things take place. But there's one thing for sure, if he gets within you, you are going to know that God meant for you to be temperate in all things, just as he told you in the word here. And when those spirits enter into you, and they begin to work, just like a tick on a dog, sapping the life right through him. It reminds me of a vision I had one time of a dog. And I told a little boy, he lived in Macon, Georgia, and his dad and mother was separated, and he had a great big dog, and a collie dog, and he just thought he was the best thing in the world. And the dog was dying, and he couldn't understand why. And the Lord was dealing with me spiritually and trying to show me something, so he used the old dog. And he showed me that the dog was covered with ticks, but because he had such long, beautiful hair, it came out over him and you couldn't see him. And every time the boy gave the dog something to eat, the ticks just sapped the life right on through. Right on through, just like a lot of demons do people, or evil spirits, or sicknesses do people. They just sap right on through, just like a briar out in the field. You can plant a grain of wheat and the briar will just stay right close by and sap every bit of the life out of it till it stunts the growth. I went to Ray and I said, Ray, I said, I know what's wrong with your dog. He said, what's wrong, Brother Pike? I said, look under that hair. I said, ticks is eating that dog up. And when he looked under there, it was just literally covered with ticks. He got the ticks off the dog, and the dog was all right. And that's the way it is with a lot of people. If God could get the demon spirits off of you and cause you to stay away from those things, you'd be all right. If he could just clean you up You wouldn't have no sickness. The Bible said He sent His Word and healed them. If you'd obey the Word, the Spirit of God would take care of the rest. This Word is a healing Word. It heals you because it tells you how to get away from those things. And all you got to do is obey it. What? Now, what is it? Those demon spirits are looking for life, and they're not going to stop. Brother, if you was wandering through dry places out yonder night and day and knew it was a thing of eternity and you couldn't find any rest, you'd go into anything you could get in. You'd do like them demons did over there when they asked permission to go in the swines. They'll go in the dogs. They'll go anywhere so that they can get life. Even if it's the lowest form of life, they'll still go into it. But what they want to do is go in you. Listen, Satan doesn't want humanity to die. Don't you ever get the idea that he wants you to die. Satan doesn't want you to die. What he'd love to do, he'd love to preserve you forever and corrupt you to the core and take over the political powers of the world and preserve you to work his will through. But God says, the day thou sinnest, thou shalt surely die. In other words, the Spirit of God will not fellowship evil. And brother, when you take evil into your life, the Spirit of God withdraws from you, and Satan don't even understand why you die. He's bound in chains of darkness. He don't even understand why you die, but you die. You die. Now, what is it? Listen real close. What is it? Why is it like that? Remember back there in the garden, God placed man in his own spiritual presence. God placed man in his own light, there to where he could have communion with man. But when man turned his mind and his thoughts and his spirits away from the Word of God and away from the Spirit of God and turned it out yonder to that world of intellectual reasoning and turned it to that world of lust and knowledge, when he partook of the tree of knowledge and lived to his own understanding, he become double-minded. The Bible said a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. The just shall live by faith. And the words of life is what we need to live by faith in. Faith by hearing the Word. If Eve had kept her faith anchored right in the Word of God, she had never been separated from God. If her faith had stayed right in the Word of God, she would have lived forever. But when she listened to that other voice, she became double-minded. Faith left her, and she turned to her own understanding by the medium of the five senses through which Satan was working, and she fell from her steadfastness in God. Her spiritual eyes closed. She died out of the presence of God, and mankind hasn't been able to find his way back ever since. Let's look at it a little closer. Now then, remember, in the antediluvian time, there was no water, remember? God illustrates it to where we can understand it. There was no water. Why? There was no water that came down out of heaven. Why? Because man in the garden had the life himself. God breathed within man's nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. Man had life within himself. But the day he left God, he lost that life. And the antediluvian time was a type of it. God did not send any water down from heaven. Why? Because the earth had the power to send forth the mist and water itself. The natural earth, the physical earth, the spiritual earth. The natural earth, which gave us a type and a shadow of the human body. And the water, which is a type of God's Spirit. From the heart of the earth, or from within the earth, came forth the mist and it watered the earth. There was no need for God to send water down out of heaven. But remember, when man sinned and got away from God, the Spirit of God withdrew from him. He could not water himself from within anymore. And you know what happened? Then God had to send the waters of life down from heaven and pour out of his Spirit upon all flesh to give you an inspiration through the five senses that he might preserve life in the body and keep your spirit alive. How long? Until the day that he could bring the Word of God back, Christ Jesus back, and place within you the Word of God one more time. And then, friend, after that's finished and the Word of God's placed within you, you'll be able to water yourself again, and God will cut off the waters from heaven. And only they that are able to water themselves will water themselves. The rest of them will perish. What is it? He said in the last days there shall be a famine. By the Word? No. Not for the Word of God. There's plenty of the Word of God. But there shall be a famine for the hearing of the Word. They will not hear the Word. The Bible said they won't hear it. There will be a famine for the hearing of the Word. Having ears to hear, they'll hear not. They'll heap to themselves teachers. That is, they won't take the God-sent preachers. They'll take the ones that they pick out themselves, heap to themselves teachers. Why? Because they've got itchy ears.
There will be a famine for the hearing of the word. God is going to cut off the waters from heaven, and the waters will never come down anymore. I'm glad tonight that out of our innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. And we're able tonight to water ourselves. We're able tonight to live forever and bring forth the waters of life, friend. We're able to do it. Remember how important water was back there in the Old Testament? Let's see if we can get a picture of it. How important was water? Water was so important that everywhere Jacob went, everywhere Isaac went, everywhere Abraham went, they were constantly digging for water. They were always needing water. And you remember how they'd go way down and they'd get a nice well and the waters would begin to spring up. I want you to get a picture of this. And then after they'd get the water bubbling up, just about the time they'd begin to enjoy it and bathe in it, along would come the baptism. Let's bring it down the and the baptism. And they'd wash in that water. And they'd flock around that and they said, now this belongs to us. And then Jacob all cast down Abraham. They'd go along a little farther and their labor would get the rather gather and they'd rest and they'd get another fresh well of water. And then come the baptism. And they said, now we need this fellow. And they'd push him on out. And so it was right on. They'd dig another well and they'd get another well springing and here comes some other denomination. And they'd get the well. They'd get a monopoly on it and nobody could drink from it but them. But I thank God that after a while they kept digging and digging and digging until everybody got a well. And then they got over there and they dug a well of water and it was the best well of all. And nobody wanted that well. Baptists had one, the Methodists had one, and the Presbyterian had one, and they got all the turkey they can eat and all the Cadillacs they can drive and all the houses that they can use. They don't want this last well of water. Yeah. I tell you, it's the best well of water that ever sprang forth. I'm glad tonight that there is room in the land for us. Hallelujah. The Bible said at last there's room for us. We haven't had room before, but we got room now. Hey, man, they don't want this water. They can't drink from this well. They don't understand the taste of this water. But I'll tell you, this is like honey in the rock to me. We've got the water tonight springing up from within our innermost being, bringing forth. Oh, hallelujah. Can't you see it tonight? We, friend, we've got it. This anointing abides within us. Oh, it'll never leave us nor forsake us. How can we partake of it, Brother Pike? Listen real close. I'm not going to hold you long, but listen real close. The way we can drink from it, it comes through the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is one mediator between man and God, the man Christ Jesus. It's the mind of the Lord Jesus. And the Spirit of God is coming down from out of heaven. It's coming through the mind of the Lord, and it's coming down into us. And if you and I want anything from God, what do we have to do? Get away from the carnal mind. We're already redeemed, we're already translated, we're already perfected, and we're already glorified, says the Word of God, as far as our inner being, as far as our spiritual man. We're already perfect in the sight of God. And Paul challenged anybody. He said, I challenge anybody to make anything to the charge of what God did. Brother, when you start talking about God's people, when you start criticizing God's people, I don't care if they ain't nothing but a babe. Paul said you can't lay nothing to the charge of God's elect. He said God justified them by faith. Hallelujah. And he said he sanctified them once and for all by the offering up of the body of Jesus Christ. And he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. We've come unto the mount wherein the spirit of just men are made perfect. We are perfect tonight, and faith within God lifts up the mind of Christ, and the Holy Spirit flows through it. Listen, if you want healing tonight, you know what you've got to do? You've got to call those things that are not. Look out yonder, you can't see them, but the Bible said he's revealed them to us by his Spirit. Just keep looking, and after a while, you'll see it. Right there, it'll say, by his stripes you were healed. Say, oh, hallelujah. The word that spoke the world into existence says, I'm healed. I'm healed, not because I believe it up here, but I believe it down here. I believe it with all of my soul. I feel it, God, I'm healed. And you know what? That puts the mind of Christ right in there. And immediately the stream that flows from Calvary comes through the mind of Christ, and you're made whole just like that. I'm telling you the truth tonight. That's all it takes. If you lay hands on somebody and you want that individual healed, don't go before God in your own worthiness. Peter said, we didn't heal this man by our own goodness. He said, but by his faith in God. Go there and say, Lord, I am perfected forever. Go boldly before the throne. Don't go crawling up there like this. Go boldly, but go humbly. Say, God, I thank thee that thou hast perfected forever them that are sanctified. All of your promises that were given to your son, I am now eligible for them because I am the body of Christ. I am the body. Everything that you give him now belongs to me because I am the body of Christ. And when you stand before God, you want the water from heaven. Your prayer is that individual. You go in the righteousness of Christ and you go with faith in God, in that atonement. Let the Spirit of God come down into your body through the mind of Christ and you'll be healed. But remember this, everything with God is a finished product. How many of you know that? That's one of the great secrets, friend. Everything with God is a finished product. Jesus said, it is finished. You'll have to give me just a few more minutes. It is a finished thing in the mind of God. Every person that will ever enjoy eternal life has already got it. Everyone. How, Brother Pike? In the mind of God. In the mind of God. You remember what he said to Job? He said, where was you, Job? Before the morning stars ever sang together and the sons of God leap for joy. Then John said, now, beloved, are we the sons of God? Through the telescope of time, he saw you and I leaping for joy way back yonder in his mind, and he slayed the lamb way back yonder in his mind. He nailed Christ to the tree. He wrote all the names down in the Lamb's Book of Life and predestinated those that he foresaw. And Peter said, we are elect according to foreknowledge. For those that he foreknew, he predestinated, justified, glorified, sanctified, and perfected forever. Paul said, ain't nothing can separate you from the love of God. Everything is a finished work by what he foreknew we would do. He knew the route we would take. He never made any of us do either way, but he just knew which way we'd go. And because he knew we was a little lower than those fallen angels, he knew we couldn't stand against them. And so he predestinated, justified, and filled us with the Holy Ghost, sealed our spirits to where demon spirits couldn't get to it, that we could overcome the demon spirits, and no power and separate us from God. We're just waiting for the redemption of this body. We're just waiting for the change of this body. You'll never get any better than you are. Amen. If you're a Christian, you'll never get any better than you are. You say, well, why do I keep trying, Brother Pike? You are trying to translate this body, friend. God translated the spirit, but it's up to you and I to come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ and release that knowledge through the mind of Christ into the blood genes and let it translate this body. What is translation? It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's the world that you can't see coming into existence by believing it into existence. And the revelation changes your thoughts from carnality and it translates your mind into the mind of Christ. And the Spirit of God is released through the mind of Christ into the blood genes and the change comes and we go the way that Enoch and Elijah went. We're living there. Have you got any revelation tonight? I want you to stand with me. Have you got any revelation tonight? Have you? Oh my, I haven't even touched this subject tonight, dude. That's the truth before God. I haven't even preached one field of what God spoke to me just this afternoon. I just wish that our bodies wouldn't get tired and you could just keep drawing. But you know, it's like a babe nursing a breast. They grab a hold of the breast of El Shaddai and they pull, and after a while it's filled up. And you have to wait till next time. But I'll tell you what, friend, this is the hour of translation. Don't you want to be translated? I do. I know I've already been translated on the inside. I know I've already been perfected on the inside. But he said, grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby thou art sealed unto the day of redemption. Redemption of what? We wait for the purchased possession, which is the body. For the creature, the body, he said, the creature itself shall be delivered from the age of bonds or bondage. We shall be delivered from this land. The Bible says we will. We'll come to that place. We're going to be translated. The creature itself shall be redeemed. And it's groaning and travailing. But on the inside, we're already sons of God. What are we doing? How many remember the other night when I said we are those that dwell in heaven? Revelation said we're those that dwell in heaven. And we're the tabernacle of God, and the tabernacle of God is with men. And the beast, which is the Catholic Church, blasphemed the holy name of our God. And he blasphemes the tabernacle of God. But he doesn't know that we're the tabernacle of God. And God's within us.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And we're walking among men. But ye are the temples of the Holy Ghost. And Peter said, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, fill it meet to stir up your pure mind in God. But if I put this one off, he said, I have another house, eternal in heaven. What is it? A mansion. A mansion in my Father's house. There are many mansions. What is the Father's house? It's the body of Jesus Christ. Individually, as the church, collectively speaking, what is the many mansions? It's that house. That spiritual man lives in a house. When he moves out of this house, there's another, an eternal in the heavens. The glorified body. A glorified change, friend. Where is it at? It's in the body of Christ. Or in my Father's house. And he said, if it had not been so, I never would have told you about it. Where are we living tonight? Oh, we're just touching things, just barely touching things. What are you doing, Brother Pike? We are being translated by faith in the invisible, calling those things that are not. And the world says you're foolish. But by revelation they come. And I say that it's there because I believe it. My mind is translated from doubt and fears and frustration and chains into the mind that sees those things and believes those things, which is the mind of Christ that created those things. And then when that mind's perfected in here, I release it into the body by faith, and in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, change like that. When will it happen? We're in the age part. When the last trumpet sounds, the last trumpet, lift up your voice like a trumpet. The trump of God, Jesus Christ's voice, God speaking through it. When the last trump sounds, remember, we're the body of Christ, making known the mysteries, lifting up our voice from the last message revealed. When the last trumpet sounds, the mystery of iniquity shall be finished. The mystery of godliness shall be finished. The mystery of the kingdom shall be finished. All the mysteries of God shall be made known. We'll be perfect in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. For he said, all my Father's made known unto me. I've made known to you. I have an unction from the Holy One. He said, know all things. When that mind gets in us, it'll do us like it did Enoch. It'll do us like it did Elijah. It'll do us just like it done Jesus when he appeared in glory on the mount with Moses and Elijah. He didn't have to die for him. He could translate that body without dying. Or he could just went back just like that. But what was it? He had to die for you and I to be able to translate our body. Somebody says the appointed unto man wants to die, Brother Pike. I know that. But he broke the appointment. He heard son of time accepted. He loosed them that was appointed unto death. The Bible says so. The Word of God says so. Faith in it makes me escape death through Jesus Christ. I pass from death unto life. Where am I standing tonight? I am translating this body by faith. Every step. Waiting for that last minute revealing that's come rushing in and it's going to be changed. Let's all gather around the altar for just a minute tonight, will you? I haven't kept you very long. I've cut the message short tonight.